Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? You are watching slash listening to the Command Zone podcast. I am one of your hosts today, Jimmy Wong.
And I'm your other host, Jake.
Boss.
Jake Boss.
I was hoping you would drop the last name because it's so cool. We're both J with cool last names, right?
Yeah, our names pop in lights. It's great. Jake Boss.
There you go.
Bling.
Da-ding. Yeah, exactly. Today we are doing something very exciting. We are doing one of my favorite episodes to do. It's the pre-con upgrades.
Yeah, these things are always awesome, especially these decks
that
are tied to the sets now. They're super thematic, and I'm loving these lately.
And they're built pretty darn well. That's the thing that I think all of us here at the office have been pretty pleased by.
Yeah, for sure. Like, because we have to go through these decks for this episode.
Yep.
And it's like, well, I don't want to cut that because that's too good.
Yeah, and it's nice because when we do the exercise, which is 10 cards added in and 10 cards out, we want to focus on adding stuff that's thematic and awesome and makes the deck work better, not just cards that are like, well, here's some ramp, here's some card draw. Although when you can combine both of them, it's an extra special fun time. So today we are doing the Spirit Squadron deck. This is a blue-white Spirits deck. Spirits, obviously, a very big part of Innistrad and a very big theme in general. But before we get into it, we have to mention our sponsors, channelfireball.com/command. You can type that into your URL and be on the store, the marketplace, or you can use code command at checkout. Buy some magic cards. You know you're going to anyway, especially if you are looking to pick up a deck like this. Upgrade it yourself with some cards that we mentioned or maybe some cards that you think about. And of course, you're also supporting local game stores because those are the ones on the Channel Fireball marketplace when you go decide to buy there. You're also supporting our show here at the Command Zone podcast and everything that we do. So get the cards you're already going to get. Support the shows that you love, both here and the local game stores on the Channel Fireball marketplace at channelfireball.com/command, or use promo code command at checkout. Also check out Ultra Pro while you're there, while you're at your local game store. Ultra Pro is the product that we have been using for many years, decades for me at this point, to protect my own cards with the sleeves, the inner sleeves, the deck boxes, the satin towers. I still have
satin towers.
When I first started playing Magic again 7 years ago, the satin tower was like literally the first thing I bought, and that thing is rock solid.
I've got like 10 of them in my backpack every single day.
I know, you got a whole rainbow. Yeah. It looks nice, right?
Here, Arthur, you'll show the beautiful array of all my commander decks right here.
Yeah.
Satin Towers.
I especially love the product shots that we do before game nights because it really shows off how beautiful the products are. They're well-made, manufactured. Ultra Pro's been doing it for a long, long time, so you know you're getting good quality there. And finally, the last way to support the show is directly at patreon.com/commandzone. We shout out one lucky patron every episode, and this episode is dedicated to
Greg Arledge.
Greg.
You rock.
You do rock. Okay, Spirit Squadron. Great name for a pre-con deck. This is an Azorius deck, and the rules, as always, 10 cards in, 10 cards out, with a total budget of around $30, and we almost always leave the mana base as is, because that's just not as interesting to upgrade, right, Jake?
Yeah, and a deck like this with Spirits as your tribe, Spirits are everywhere in Magic, so you have so many options at a pretty good budget, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, for sure. It's nice. The more a type of tribe is printed, the more things are available, the more it's been reprinted over the history of Magic, so we got some good options here.
That's right.
So let's talk first about the new cards, the new commander cards that are in this deck. Very interesting. So there are four total legendary creatures. The first is the lead singer, as we like to say. So Jake, do you want to lead off and read us?
Yeah,
Millicent.
Millicent, Restless Revenant. She's 5, a white and a blue. She's a legendary creature, Spirit Soldier. This spell costs 1 less to cast for each spirit you control, so that 7 CMC ain't so bad. And she's a 4-4 4 flyer with when Millicent, Restless Revenant, or another non-token spirit you control dies or deals combat damage to a player, you create a 1/1 white spirit with flying.
Wow, and that's a 4/4 on the card. Now, this isn't just a 7 mana value commander, because there is a chance you can cast it for white and blue, just for 2 mana. Yeah.
If you don't have spirits out in this deck, I don't know what you're doing. You
know? Yeah.
So there's no way you're ever paying a full 7, I think, for Millicent.
And if Millicent dies, the spirits you have also go against the commander tax.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we like our spirits dying as well, because they make more for that recast of Millicent in board wipes. And
yeah,
this card is just overall really, really solid.
Yeah, actually, it's surprising. You would think 7 mana value commander, that's too expensive. But the fact that it goes against the commander tax, and also this trigger, when Millicent dies, you make a spirit. So that's already a 1 mana reduction right. The next time you need to recast it. When it deals combat damage, you make even more spirits. And if you swing, according to the text here, with multiple creatures, they all do combat damage, you're making a bunch of spirits.
Yeah, this thing, I think, performs really well, and if you're paying 7 mana at any point, you've done something wrong.
Yeah, only if it's like the 8th time you've casted Millicent, how about that?
For sure, and if you're at that point already, like, I bet you this game's close to over anywho.
Or everyone wants it to end, because everyone's tearing their hair out. Yeah, I like this commander a lot, really resilient to board wipes, just by the fact that when it dies, you make a 1/1 white spirit creature token. So if you have a huge board, all your spirits die, boom, you make a bunch of spirits, and then bam, Millicent costs just white blue probably the next time you only cast her.
Yeah, and what I like about this card is that it doesn't do something in particular that is like super specific. So if you're making a lot of spirit tokens, you're going to want to be dealing combat damage. So this is an easy commander to switch out for maybe one of these other commanders too.
Oh, yeah.
And you might not feel it as much if you're feeling a little bit spicy on one of these days.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Lots of options again in white and blue. Millicent could just be a player in the deck itself, but it's good to know. Now, the other new commander is actually a mono blue commander, but it's one of the new legendary creatures. It's Donal, Herald of Wings, 2 blue-blue for a 3/3 legendary creature, human wizard. Whenever you cast a non-legendary creature spell with flying, you may copy it, except the copy is a 1/1 spirit in addition to its other types. Do this only once each turn, and then the copy becomes a token. So very importantly, you're not creating a token, you're casting a spell, and then you're copying that spell, so you have another copy of the spell on the stack, except this time it enters as a 1/1 spirit in addition to its other types. I like this a lot. Now, it has to have flying on it, so that doesn't mean, it means it might not be a spirit. It could be like a bird, but it becomes a spirit, so then that ties into the other cards in the deck. And it's cool because you can do this once each turn.
Yeah, and in this deck in particular, we've seen a lot of spirits that have flash.
Mm-hmm.
That's not unprecedented for you to be casting a creature spell on another player's turn.
Yeah.
It is going to be mana intensive for sure, and it's not something you'll probably be able to do reliably, but the ability to create a token copy of something, there are a lot of ways to abuse that. I'm a connoisseur of Bruticlad decks.
Yeah.
Anytime something makes me a copy of a creature spell, I'm
you're in for it. Yeah, blue's seen a lot of this recently, so I think you don't play Donal if you're playing it until later on when you have more than 4 mana available. You play Donal, hold up your mana, pass the turn, next turn you flash in a spirit, maybe flash in another one. You've got way more power and toughness just thanks to that, and more creatures, and it turns some cards into spirits too.
Right.
The final two commander potentials are actually a partner with pairing, and this is something that we see in both of the new precon decks. So partner with means cards that when you play it, it specifically says partner with another card, and then if it's in your deck, you can search your library for it and have it come out, or you can have both of them as your commander. The partner with commanders do not work with other cards that say partner on them. They are very specifically tied to the card that they are partnered with.
And so if I cast one of these commanders, let's say I cast Rota, then I'm going to, if it's in my 99, I can go fetch the other copy because of that partner with.
Yep, has to be in your library. Ability. So if you milled it, then no luck there. But these cards technically sort of say draw a card on them. It just happens to be a very specific card.
Yeah, draw a really super synergistic card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's read off both of them. The first is Rota, Geist Avenger.
So Rota is a legendary creature, human soldier, costs 3 and a white, partners with Timon, and it has vigilance. It's a 3/3. Whenever a creature an opponent controls becomes tapped, if it isn't being declared as an attacker, put a 1/1 counter on Rota.
Oh, okay. So if you have a mana dork and you're tapping it for mana, that's a creature being tapped, not for attacking. Rota gets bigger.
this color combination, I think being able to control the board might help you a little bit with this. It's just tough for me to look at a 4-mana vigilance attacky thing that grows and get super excited.
But with
the other commander, I don't know.
Yeah, so if you decide to make this the lead singers of the deck, then you have Timon, Youthful Geist, which is 4 in the blue for a 3/4 legendary creature spirit. So this one's a spirit, the other one isn't. It partners with Rhoda. This creature has flying, and it says at the beginning of each combat, tap up to one target creature. Okay.
That's pretty darn good.
That is good, right? So this is a 4-mana commander into a 5-mana commander. You play Rhoda, you play Timon, and then you pass the turn. In each combat, including your own, you get to tap down a creature that you don't control. Actually, no, one target creature. It could be any creature. However, Rhoda cares about opponent's creatures. And so technically, you could potentially get up to 4 +1/+1 counters on Rhoda by the time it gets back to your turn.
That vigilance on Rhoda suddenly becomes a lot more appealing.
Yeah.
And I think either of these commanders on their own aren't very exciting, especially for their mana cost.
Mm-hmm.
But together, I don't know, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And Jamie, one of the staff writers here, was talking about a new emerging theme in blue and white and just Magic in general, which is, hey, I want to tap down other things, and then when they tap down, I get an additional benefit out of it.
Yeah.
So we see that there's actually a card in this deck called Verity Circle that plays specifically into this. But it seems like that's the most important part of the Rhoda-Timon pairing, is that they have the ability to do that.
It's kind of a cool way to remove something without it being such a feel-bad that you shut down the rest of the table.
Right, yeah. Just tapping it down means you're getting it out of combat, but it's really useful if your opponent has like an Ulamog or a creature with Annihilator out, as we have seen now with a prior extra turns that we've both been in.
Yeah, I kind of Annihilator 10'd my opponent. It was nasty.
Yeah, anything above 2 is pretty nasty in general. Okay, those are the new commander options in the deck. One of them is a mono blue commander, so can't be the lead singer. So it would be a decision if you're running this or buying this pre-con between Millicent and then Rhoda and Timon. So let's keep going and diving deeper into this deck with one of our favorite sections on the show. It is the Okay, so we went through the deck and we have gone through all of the important aspects of it, and we have listed out what cards do what and counted it up, and here it is for you today. So the ramp in this deck, we count 10 pieces of unique ramp, which is pretty good.
That feels good.
We're in white and blue. And we don't have rampant growths.
Some of it could be better.
Yeah.
But the stuff that's not that great comes in tapped but produces colored mana, so that you can make an argument for it. It's not the worst.
It's not the worst. Yeah, there's the diamond in there. There are just your regular signet type things. A lot of it's obviously artifact based because white and blue doesn't have access to much else. But it hits 10, which we think is right. That's sweet spot for commander decks. Now, keep in mind that ramp is maybe not as important in this deck because our commander of Millicent, if we choose to go with that one, doesn't really care so much about the high mana value. Actually, you might be casting it for cheap a lot of times.
Yeah, you kind of want to get started on your plan a little bit earlier than maybe developing your board, which sounds crazy.
Yeah, instead of playing
getting a spirit out will ramp you if you plan on casting that commander.
Yeah, playing a rock on 3 or a spirit. And I think in a lot of cases, you might actually opt for the spirit,
right,
unless you can use the rock to like play 2 spells next turn. Card draw, 8 and 10 cards, actually, if you count clues.
I don't know. How do you feel about counting clues? Does that make you feel good?
I don't know if I count clues. I'd rather investigate them. But yeah, I think clues is, it's right on that mark, right? Where some people will say, hey, if you scry once 5 times, you've kind of like drawn 2 cards almost. It's like, right, clues kind of feel like that, where something that makes a clue token, that's not a full like card draw slot. But if you make 3 or 4 of them and you have the mana to crack them, then that maybe counts towards 1, maybe a little more than 1. So,
but you know what feels way better is assuredly drawing cards.
Yeah.
Like, how about we just get something that says draw a card?
And we'll find, you know, in the deck that a lot of them are actually kind of conditional. So the card draw is a little suspect. It looks nice on the number side, but you have to look a little deeper to understand that, oh, maybe it's not as great as we thought. Single target removal. 5 spots of that, which is pretty
good.
Nice. Yeah, pretty good. One thing I did notice, though, is that some of it is enchantment-based. So if that enchantment disappears, so does the quote-unquote removal. So it's not permanent removal. There are some instances of that, but it's not fully permanent removal. And then board wipes, we got 4 of them in here.
Of course, we don't mind a board wipe in this deck.
Oh, definitely not. Especially if Millicent is out, and then your board wipe just gives you more creature tokens. Pretty good. Now, when it comes to the actual deck itself, we have quite a lot of spirit and spirit synergy. How many cards did we count here, Jake?
36.
Wowie zowie.
That is a ton. Definitely plenty to borrow from if you need to up those stats a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. That is the, you know, I think normally we're like, you can have between 20 and 25-ish cards that are around the main theme of the deck. But this is a spirits deck through and through. The commander says that. So 36 total cards that have something to do with spirits or spirit synergy or are spirits themselves. So that's obviously the main part of the deck. And then investigate, something that we're seeing coming back quite often. It seems like an evergreen type of thing that's happening with Magic now.
Yeah, I want to talk about investigate for a second because they make these, let's say, clue tokens, food tokens, and blood tokens, maybe even rocks too.
Treasures,
when you look at treasures are solid.
Yeah, they're very
solid.
When
you look at these tokens that are maybe not that great, they can become better things. As I said, I'm a big Bruticlad player, but you've also seen Josh utilize them very well on game nights. Mm-hmm. If you just have a ton of artifacts out, you can do stuff with these artifacts. So when Magic gives you artifacts for a cheap price, don't, you know, slouch on a spell that might be like confirm suspicions or it's counter target spell, investigate three times. Who knows what you could do with those clues?
Who knows? So. Yeah, you might even solve a mystery. But yeah, we have... oh my goodness, we did it. We said Beetlejuice three times. There's like Gearper Aether Grid. There are cards that allow you to convoke out cards with your artifacts as well. So yeah, there are definitely more ways to use it. And I keep mentioning this card, Academy Manufacturer, which allows you to make a lot of artifacts at the end of the day. And of course, there are cards that allow you to sacrifice them as well. Okay, so... one of the more interesting parts of these deck breakdowns is we talk about the value of the decks because we're all collectors out there, right, to some degree. And when you buy these decks, well, we want to actually find out, are we getting a good deal? Are we getting cards that are worth it that we can add to our collection? Should we decide to tear it down and take it apart? So we, of course, calculate the value and we take into account the value of the reprints and not the new cards because we don't actually know where those will settle.
Right.
Sometimes those cards can be like, I don't know, Teferi's Protection or, I don't know, Dockside Extortionist. Sometimes they can't be. So we talk about the value of the reprints, which there are 62 in this deck. And the prices that we take are prior to the deck reveal, so they will have dipped a little bit. And the total reprint value is...
$56.06.
Yeah, that's a bit of a bummer. And of course, these numbers, you might say, hey, they're higher than the actual retail price of the deck. But a lot of the times, it's a lot of cards that are like 10 cents, 20 cents that add up. And we've actually seen that the average pre-con reprint value of the past 3 years averages around to much higher, between $80 and $90. So this is definitely much more on the low side here, which is a little disappointing.
Yeah, I think the number itself might be a little bit deceiving, though, because you have to take into account with any pre-con, the cost of acquisition for these cards. You don't have to put any time into tracking down all the spirits and building this deck yourself. If you're looking for something that's nice and thematic that you can crank up on your own, say you're trying to get a friend into Magic or something, this is still a great option because the deck works really well.
Yeah, and like you said before, spirits are a really popular tribe, so that means that you don't have as many juicy reprint targets. You know, if this was like the Praetor set, and it's like, oh yeah, give me an Elish Norn, give me a Vorinclex or whatever. Well, not Vorinclex. I'm sorry I said that card name. Don't play that card.
For jerks.
Jerk card for jerks. So let's talk about the notable reprints. So all the cards that are worth more than $2. So we found that there are three cards that are worth $5 or more, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 11 cards that are worth $2 or more. So that's, again, part of the reason why the reprint value is so low. But there are some good cards in here.
Yeah, they kind of spread the love a little bit in this deck. First off is Kami of the Crescent Moon. It's $5.50.
Wow.
Always fun. Drawing more cards. Fell the Mighty, which is $5.
Nice board wipe. Very good board wipe in this deck because it's destroy all creatures with power greater than target creature's power.
Definitely.
You got a bunch of 1/1s.
Yeah, so we're going to be keeping our board and probably getting rid of a bunch of those non-tokens.
Yep.
And then Hallowed Spirit Keeper, $5.
Yeah, this is an interesting card. I've seen this a lot, but I've never actually played it because it isn't that great, to be honest.
I hate playing something that says it doesn't do anything this turn.
Right.
You know? If we're not doing something this turn, I'm not into it.
Yeah, but. And what if someone gets rid of your graveyard? Then that card looks real bad.
Right. Guys of St. Traff, classic.
Classic, yeah. And the card that a lot of people are talking about because there's a card that's very similar to the Invocation of St. Traff in the set. Kai's of St. Traff is a spirit and makes cool angel creature tokens when it attacks.
Yeah, it's always solid.
Yeah, it could also just be a replacement commander if you want it to be very easily.
Exactly.
You've got Benevolent Offering, one of those cool cards where you get to offer an opponent a something and you gain some life, get some spirits as well. And this card was about a little bit over $2. Ghostly Prison. Now, this card is just, it's like Soul Ring almost.
You can't have enough in your collection.
You can't have enough. You see this printed very often and reprinted a bunch, and it still holds its value, which says a lot about the quality of the card.
Right.
Stopping people from attacking you for each creature they control. That's very, very powerful. One of my favorite pieces of removal ever, Swords to Plowshares, is in this deck, thank
with
goodness.
With brand new art, too.
With brand new art, yeah. We're looking at old art on my phone, but the new art is great. Actually, I love that part about the reprints. Ghostly Prison has new art as well, yeah. So does Swords to Plowshares. So that's always cool, too, if you're a collector, to get a pre-con for like these special little pieces everywhere.
Or if you produce a gameplay show about Magic, you're always excited about new art for cards.
Yeah, exactly.
New opportunities.
Yeah, you're like, which one can we choose from this time? Oh, this let's see this one. I love an idea for that. And then Twilight Drover, just another really fun card that lets you pump out a bunch of white spirit tokens and likes tokens leaving the battlefield, importantly. That's at $2. And Windborne Muse, very similar to Ghostly Prison, but on a creature.
On a spirit creature.
On a spirit. Actually, that's a good point. I didn't even realize that Windborne Muse was a spirit.
Yeah.
Until I saw it recently.
Perfect include for this deck.
All right, so the big question that we have now, of course, is what should you run as the commander? We have two choices. We have Millicent, Restless Revenant, and then we have the partner with pairing of Rhoda, Geist Avenger, and Timon, Youthful Geist. I'm pretty set on this one. I'm pretty sure it's got to be Millicent. What do you think?
Yeah, I think definitely, especially when you bring up the partner with idea. If you draw one of Rhoda or Timon, then you can just go get the other one.
Yeah.
You're drawing cards. It's better to have them in the 99.
Yeah, and what they're trying to do is tap down other people's creatures. And right. The deck has, like, I think one card that really synergizes with that, whereas the rest of the deck is all about spirits.
Yeah, and Millicent is a very good spirit commander.
Yeah, she's a good spirit, like a good dog.
Yeah, she's got
Millicent
a spirit.
Is here. All right, let's talk about the best cards in the deck. And there are, I wrote down four-ish five of them, but to me, one of the best cards I think by far is Donal, Herald of Wings.
Yeah.
We talked about this card already. This just makes all of your creature spells with flying, which by the way are all of them in your deck, you get to have another one. That means another spirit, another inner battlefield ability.
Yeah. Imagine putting this out with like a Fairy Artisans or something like that. It's so good.
Yeah, and not to mention you have cards like Distant Melody in the deck, which is all about drawing cards for a specific card type, creature type. So bam, look at that. Just spirits on spirits.
Oh, yeah.
A brand new card that is really exciting, I thought is pretty cool. It's called Haunted Library.
Haunted Library is one and a white. It's an enchantment. And whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, you may pay one. If you do, create a 1/1 spirit.
Woo!
So that's pretty good.
That is really good. Creatures will be dying on the battlefield. Paying one mana to get a 1/1 flying token that also synergizes with the rest of your deck seems pretty good. This is pretty good when the board wipe happens as well. You play a board wipe, and then any extra mana you have, you get more 1/1 spirit creature tokens.
Yeah, we love it. It's death triggers are something that you see when people are on their strategy.
Yeah.
It's not just when a combat goes bad for somebody. Mm-hmm. There are so many things that are sack this, get that. So
yeah,
we're going to see it a lot.
This doesn't say non-token creature either. So this is going to presumably trigger a lot during a game. It's opponent's creatures, but in most metas, they're going to be pretty creature heavy. So this is going to do work, I think.
Yep.
Another card that I think is just probably the best card in the deck. It's Mirror Entity.
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic 2 and a white shapeshifter with changeling, so it's all creature types at all times. But you can pay X, and until end of turn, the creatures you control have base power and toughness XX and gain all creature types.
That's a finisher.
So, that is a finisher. You're making a bunch of 1/1s, pay 5 mana into Mirror Entity. They're all 5/5s.
Yeah.
And if they weren't spirits before, they are now.
Under no circumstances can this card come out of the deck. It's so perfect for this strategy.
Yeah, and I will say almost always Mirror Entity is a remove on sight card, which lets you know that it is very powerful. This is the kind of card you want to save your mana up for, play it, activate it, win the game on the spot.
Even if you don't know what your opponent is up to, you see it, the game's over.
Yeah, exactly. And then two other cards I thought were the best cards in the deck would be the Windborn Muse or the Ghostly Prison effects, because your strategy in this deck, I'm pretty sure, is just turning flying creatures sideways, which means that you're leaving yourself open for attack.
Right.
And if that's the case, you want to stop people from attacking you. Instead, you don't want to be like, I'll have to hold back 5 spirits to stop these creatures from hitting me. It just is better if you tax people to try and do it. And then they're very often, if you have Ghostly Prison out, they'll just go somewhere else.
Yeah, it two mana doesn't seem like a lot, especially when you're trying to police the board. But when you have two other options who you can attack for free, yeah, you're definitely going those directions.
I definitely like that a lot. Do you have any decks that are similar to this Spirit Squadron deck in your current collection?
Oh, 100%. Like I said, I'm a major Bruticlad player, so anything that makes a ton of creatures or tokens, I really believe we can get up to some nastiness here.
Yeah.
I've got some of those cards to add to this deck for sure. So
very exciting. And that is what we will be doing. Adding 10 cards, taking 10 out, the most exciting part of the episode, is just around the corner. But before we get there, let's hear a message from our mid-roll sponsors.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
All right, we are back talking about the Spirit Squadron's deck, and here's the part of the episode where Jake was tasked to take 10 cards to find put in with a budget of around $30, and then take 10 cards out of the deck to improve it. So one of my
favorite things to do.
It's one of my favorite things to do, especially for introducing new players to the game. It's just such a wonderful way to get people in and show them how to upgrade a deck for the first time. That's like one of my most satisfying parts of playing Commander, I think.
Yeah, I love this task because it always makes you dig deep into the wells of Magic and get creative, because we have to balance out, like, yeah, you're definitely going to want this card that's a little bit more expensive,
right?
But they're solid cards for like pennies
Yeah,
that go perfect in this deck.
All right, so let's start it off. Let's kick it off with the cards to add. There are 10 of them. We're going to go through each of them and explain our reasoning. Or Jake, you're going to explain your reasoning, and I'm going to back you up.
So he's going to make me seem really smart.
Yeah, exactly. I totally think so. All right,
so
let's kick it off.
Number one is Kami of False Hope. It's $1.20. Kami of False Hope is a one mana spirit. Sacrifice Kami of False Hope to prevent all common damage that would be dealt this turn.
Ooh.
It's a fog frog.
It's a fog frog, but it's a spirit... I don't know. I can't come up
with it. It's a non-token spirit that's dying.
That's right.
It's going to trigger our commander. We love that.
It's going to trigger your commander. It's going to trigger a bunch of other things that care about things dying. And when it deals combat damage. Now, a lot of spirits are flying and this one isn't. But I think having a fog on a stick is so incredibly important in games.
And on turn one, this is a really solid turn one play. Because I don't think any of our ramp apart from Sol Ring is going to be one mana.
You're right.
There's really not much in this deck that you're trying to do on turn one.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. If you have this in your opening hand and you have a white mana to cast it with, this is kind of like casting a mana rock, but specifically for your commander.
Right. Because every action you take will get that commander out one turn earlier.
That's right, yeah. Again, Millicent starts at 7 mana. You cast this, all of a sudden Millicent costs 6 mana, and it's turn two. And maybe you can keep going from there. So I like this a lot. There have been so many situations, too, at a table where I'm about to swing out, go to combat, and I see a fog effect or a fog frog. And I go, well, you're not going to do that, right, if I don't swing at you? And they go, yeah, of course not. I'm like, great. Going at someone else now.
Right.
And hopefully...
Because why would you just waste your entire turn?
Yeah, exactly. And tap out, too, to do so. So I like this a lot. Really good addition. And it's a spirit.
Yeah.
The next up is March of Souls. 4 and a white for a sorcery. Destroy all creatures that can't be regenerated. For each creature destroyed this way, its controller creates a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying.
And that pairs so well with Millicent's ability too, where she's going to fill up the board with spirits as well. I think you can probably wipe this board and recast Millicent in the same turn and have a crazy army. You basically psych-rifted the board.
Right. And here's the thing. You do this, Millicent is going to trigger twice, right? Because March of Souls is going to create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying, and so is Millicent's ability. So you're actually going to get twice as many, even if the board was equal, like we all had five creatures each, then we would all make 5/1s, you're actually making 10, and then you can recast Millicent for white and a blue to just start that all over again, and then you have an army that can swing past other people. You have an army that's better. We've seen this with some of those like offering cards where it's like, hey, everyone, y'all get 3/1s. I get 9.
Yeah, it definitely works out in your favor big time. And it does something secondary on top of our primary strategy. And a card that's this cheap, 79 cents, that does something like that, you got to snap that up.
Pretty good board wipe for sure.
This next card is 100% my favorite card in Magic at this point.
It's really?
Mirror Weave.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's 69 cents, and I've had this card sitting around forever. Mm-hmm. Didn't know what to do with it. Mirror Weave is 2 and then a hybrid white and blue, two of each.
Yep.
So 4 CMC, and it's an instant. Each other creature becomes a copy of target non-legendary creature until end of turn.
Oh, I see. So this is kind of like the Bruticlad effect, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm more often casting this than Bruticlad. So what we're going to do is on attack or something, we'll choose something that's much bigger than all of our spirits. And then our spirit army is something ginormous, as long as there's anything out there that's usable. But there are a bunch of interesting... ways to use this as well. Like, I once had an opponent who was swinging out with a few big scary creatures in the air. And then my other opponent couldn't block that board, and one of those creatures was Metamine.
Ooh.
So
that, don't want that to keep hitting.
So Manson was going to get an extra turn if that creature connected. So I cast Mirror Weave, targeting a Rhino. And now everyone can block anything they want. Manson's not getting that effect. And this attack didn't involve me at all.
Right.
So I wiped Manson's board and Ashlyn's board, essentially.
Wow. Because they're going to go, well, I guess I will block and get rid of your Metamine because it's so powerful. That's really interesting.
None of those effects triggered. And yeah, this is a really creative card that you can get up to some interesting shenanigans with.
Yeah, and I like this too. So let's say you have 5/1/1 white's flying creature tokens and someone on the other end of the board just has like a random 7/7, right? You swing with everything. They say, I can't block. I don't have any flyers. after blockers have been declared. In this case, no blockers have been declared. Mirrorweave turned them all into 7/7s.
Yeah.
One-shot them, right?
It's so good. Like, there are so many different ways to use this card.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So that one's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you're able to use it also as a political tool and to get rid of someone else's board. That's like a, that was like a 6-for-1 or something.
Yeah, if you ask me, you put Mirrorweave into the deck, suddenly Mirrorweave is the best card in the deck.
Yeah, sorry, move aside.
I'm definitely biased.
All right, the next card is one of my personal favorite spirits of all time. It is Selfless Spirit. 1 and a white for a 2/1 flying spirit cleric. Sacrifice Selfless Spirit. Creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn.
This card is good in a whole bunch of decks.
It's good in non-spirit creature decks. That's how you know it's so good. It's a $5 card as well, because it just is super cheap, 1 and a white. You can play it early, and it just sits there and stops so much from happening to you.
Right. It'll save your board if you're casting that big board wipe, because we do run a lot of them.
Right.
And if you're in a situation where you don't want something bad to happen, but even better, triggers your commander when you activate that ability.
Oh, right, because you sack it, and then your commander sees it, makes you a 1/1. Ah, very nice.
Yeah, so in the comments, you'll have to loop me into how these triggers stack. Are we going to get that spirit by the time it becomes indestructible? I think so.
Creature comes out. Out. Trigger effect happens. I think so.
You
get to choose the order that the triggers happen. I also really like this card because it reminds me of Heroic Intervention, yes. Which is, now that's an instant, but it gives your creatures permanence, indestructible. And that is so very important to save your board, especially in a creature-based strategy. So, big fan of this edition here.
Yeah, there's a lot in this deck that is starting to feel kind of green.
Yeah, kind of green.
And that's a good feeling for Azorius.
It is indeed. All right, the next up is one of my actual personal favorite cards, too. You put two on here, Jake. You really know.
Oh, yeah. Spell Queller. This card is $3.50, which is unbelievable to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1, a blue, and a white, and it has flash and flying. It is a 2/3, and when Spellqueller enters the battlefield, exile target spell with converted mana cost 4 or less. Now, when the Spellqueller leaves the battlefield, its owner may cast it without paying its mana cost.
Okay, so this is kind of like a counterspell, but it's a soft counterspell, right? And I actually like this quite a bit because it has flash. So right. This also will trigger for cards like Donald that want you to cast extra spells. And is it Donald? Yeah, it is Donald, right?
Yeah.
So being able to cast like another card with Donald, this has flash on it. I like it quite a bit. And you just get rid of a 4-mana spell, which is sometimes, by the way, a board wipe.
Yeah, there's a lot of spells that we don't mind getting rid of, especially when you're playing against one of our favorites, Josh Lequai. Like, his mana curves are always super tight and low.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're playing against really strong players, it's good against them. Especially.
Yeah. And oftentimes you'll find that like the Wilderness Reclamations, whatever that card is at 4 mana, just being able to stop it for a turn cycle is actually hugely beneficial. It gives you that extra little bit of edge. And again, you're just trying to poke people out in the air. So that means maybe one extra combat for you. And that could be the difference between winning and losing the game.
And if there's anything that I've learned from the Command Zone podcast, it's that if you can double up in that slot for things that this deck cares about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we can crank that number from 36 to 37,
right,
while also cranking our single target removal at the same time,
yep,
that's even better.
Yep.
So, lots of effects that can do that here.
Yeah, and we already saw that with March of Souls as well as a great board wipe in the additions. All right, the next card we have up here is Curiosity Crafter. I'm curious about this one because it's not a spirit. It's a bird wizard for 3 and a blue. It's a 3/3 with flying, and it says you have no maximum hand size. But more importantly, whenever a creature token you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card.
So Coastal Token Piracy.
Coastal Token Piracy.
We're a little slim on that card draw, so this is a really great way to get more cards. And it's what we want to be doing anyways.
Yeah.
If you're going to be doing stuff anyways, find a way to capitalize on it.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And it doesn't actually matter that this bird wizard is not a token or is not a spirit, because it cares about creature tokens, which this deck is pumping out a ton of. And this is just an incredible way, right? Imagine you have 5/1/1 flyers. I keep using 5. Let's say 5/1/1 flyer tokens. No one can block it. Swing for 5 damage is one thing. Playing this 4-mana card and swinging and then drawing 4 to 5 to 6, however many cards you're hitting with, that is power.
And it doesn't need to be something that your opponent sees coming either. Because if I've got, say, a board of 10 spirits.
Right.
What's the worst that could happen on my turn? One of my opponents takes 10. As an opponent, are you thinking, whatever, I might take 10 damage at the very worst?
Yeah.
You play Curiosity Crafter. Suddenly, that player is drawing 10 cards. They're a big problem. If there's not some instant speed removal held up, that's something to be scared of.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. And Extra Christmas Land, play Donald. Play Curiosity Crafter and draw 20 cards.
20 cards!
20 cards!
We can do more!
Well, speaking of cards that let you draw close to 20 cards, this next one is the most expensive edition on the list, but by far, and now all of a sudden we've switched it again, this is probably the best card in the deck.
It's worth it, yeah. Skull Clamp, it's $8. It's a one mana artifact. It's an equipment, and a equipped creature gets +1/-1, and when it dies, you draw 2 cards, equip cost of 1.
Wow, so this means pay 1 mana, equip a spirit token, it dies instantly, because it's a 1/1 and you draw 2 cards. So,
or maybe you're equipping it to a spirit that's already done its thing, or a spirit that you plan on having it die this turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get an additional value from Millicent. So we'll get a token, we'll get 2 cards, equip this to that token that thing made. This is just a, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this type of deck.
The fact that it can cost 1 to equip too, that's the best part about this card.
Right.
And I always love telling the story, but they originally made this +1/-1 because they thought it was going to make the card worse.
Yeah. Whoops.
Whoops. Big whoops. This is by far one of the biggest sort of like design errors on Magic's part, but it ends up creating just a fantastic card, an everlasting staple for Commander as well.
Yeah, it's been printed quite a few times and it's still around $8. And I think you might find one in your collection if you've been playing a little while. This is the home for it.
It's the home for it. Anytime you got a bunch of tokens, 1/1's running around. Next up, we got the Bident of Thassa. It's 2 blue-blue for a legendary enchantment artifact. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. And then you can also pay 1 and a blue and tap the Bident to say, creatures your opponents control, attack this turn if able. I really like the addition of this card. Someone might be saying, hey, this is just like Curiosity Crafter. You know what? If I can get 2 Curiosity Crafters, I will do it.
Yeah.
This is also not caring about token creatures. And we already have Windborne Muse, Ghostly Prison in the deck. So the second effect on Bident of Thassa actually does a lot of work.
And you're a token deck too. You have so many chumps out.
Yeah.
So unless they're dealing a bunch of trample damage, we'll be able to handle whatever they do. We're just not a very attractive target.
Right.
For this attack.
Yeah, you always are going to have 1/1s, and if you block with a spirit and it dies, Millicent makes you another 1/1, so you kind of have this ongoing train of just endless chump blockers, which I like quite a bit.
Yeah, solid card, and it's a really affordable card, too, at $2.50.
Yeah, and honestly, I wish I saw people play the second part of this card more often, because I love goading, and I love forcing other opponents to attack, and especially if you're an unattractive target, if you have a Windborne Muse out, then no one's going to swing at you, so you're really kind of directing the rest of the table and forcing them to have blocks down. If there's an opponent that has a bunch of flyers, you know that they're the biggest threat to you. Force them to attack. Make them attack someone else. Or make them attack you. Chump a little bit and then kill them on the swing back.
Yeah, and okay, so the next one is Perplexing Test. This is a 50-cent card.
What?
It's an instant 3 blue-blue. Choose one. Return all creature tokens to their owner's hands. Or return all non-token creatures to their owner's hands.
Okay.
So super flexible board wipe at instant speed.
Instant speed and a mass bounce, which is obviously, we all play Cyclonic Rift. We know how powerful that can be, but also not just that, a one-sided bounce.
Right. And this is a 50-cent Cyclonic Rift.
Yeah.
So a lot of times the best part of Psych Rift is you're getting rid of a whole bunch of creature tokens or stuff that's not going to come back.
Right, right.
So this one is very flexible and we get to keep our board if we really want to.
Yeah, you can keep your tokens. If you have Millicent out, who cares? Bounce her back to your hand. Play her for a white and a blue the next time it's your turn, because you're going to end step this probably. And this might be sort of like the winning combo, right? You could do this, and then your Bident of Thassa is already out there, and then maybe play your Mirror Entity, and then blam. You're going to just swing out, murder someone on the next turn, because everything's been bounced in their hands. And as I've seen, you know, a lot of times token decks, they're making ground tokens. They're not necessarily creating a bunch of flyers.
Right.
So I like this a lot. Flexing Test.
It's a very flexible card that rewards practice.
Yeah.
So get reps and reps in to figure out when to do this.
Yeah, and don't sleep on this card for sure. I think a lot of what we've been seeing with these new Commander precons is that they're releasing so many and there are cards exclusive to the precons that you kind of forget that they're even there. This, right. I think, was the Strixhaven one, right?
And there have been so many cards this year, obviously.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard to keep track. There's a lot of cards that we should not be missing this year. So
yeah.
skim the list if you haven't done it, and you might find something cool like Perplexing Test.
Yeah, and there's actually a couple of new cards in this pre-con that we're not going to talk about today. So make sure you check out the deck list for it so you can see, oh, cool. Wow, I've never seen that before. Guaranteed you're going to find some cards in there that are going to make you blink twice.
And this one, this is like a whammer in this deck.
This is maybe one of my favorite old school spirits.
Yeah, you want to read it for us, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's so Drogue good. Skull Reaver. 5, a blue and a white. The same mana value as Millicent, by the way. For a creature spirit, 3/5 with flying, double strike, and lifelink. And whenever you gain life, draw a card.
And even more incentive for our opponents to never come at us.
Right, because it has double strike.
You just hang it back. Like, you don't... If you really want to, you can swing out with this thing and then draw two cards. That's cool. But honestly... cast this card, swing out with my tokens, pass the turn, come at me. I'm going to gain 6 life and draw 2 cards if you want to swing at me.
And as a 3/5 in the air, it's going to block most things pretty darn well, unless it's like some huge dragon. But even then, you may not be too sad throwing it away instead of taking, you know, 12 damage or whatever from a dragon attack.
Yeah, and this thing's pretty affordable too. $5.90. That's not that crazy, especially for something that's a classic.
Yeah, it definitely is a classic indeed. From the original Innistrad as well.
Right.
Or the original Innistrad sets. All right, and there's an honorable mention I wanted to put in here. It's a new card from Crimson Vow. It's called Mirror Hall Mimic. It's a double-faced card. It's 3 in the blue for a creature spirit. It's a 0/0. You may have Mirror Hall Mimic enter the battlefield as a copy of any creature on the battlefield, except it's a spirit in addition to its other types.
Holy moly.
It's a clone for the spirit deck.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty darn good. And it also has Disturb for 3 blue-blue, so you can cast it for that mana cost from your graveyard transformed. And it becomes Ghastly Mimicry, which is an enchantment aura. You can enchant a creature, and at the beginning of your upkeep, create a token that's a copy of enchanted creature, except it's a spirit in addition to its other types.
Oh, be still my heart.
Be still my heart. There are so many things that we've talked about that are... Imagine doing this to Selfless Spirit.
Yeah, oh my goodness. And then you constantly have Indestructible. Imagine doing this to, what is it, Kami of False Hope, the Fog Frog?
Oh, yeah.
You're just never going to hit me.
Imagine
never.
Doing this to Curiosity Crafter. Imagine doing this to any of your non-legendary spirits in the deck. And trust me, there are plenty.
Yeah, just any creature token, like I said, gets me so hyped up.
Yeah.
I don't sleep on tokens, people.
Don't sleep on tokens, indeed. So those are the cards to add in. Skullclamp, obviously being the most expensive out of all of them, but you still kept it completely under $30. And every single one of those cards I could see making a big difference in Commander games, because you can just feel it sometimes. You
know? And my list was like 20 cards. Yeah. I kept some cards on here to fill out that budget, to be honest. But there is so much that you can do to this deck with just cards that are under a buck.
Yeah, and definitely check it out online. There are so many spirits decks that have been made over the years. I'm just glad that white-blue has options outside of stasis and stacks, because that's a bit tiring to play against. So I love seeing a token strategy, a combat strategy, a tribal spirit one.
Yeah, this is a really fun deck for white-blue.
Okay, all right. Now let's get to the difficult part of all of these episodes. What 10 cards shall we take out of the deck?
This was very easy at first, and then when we started getting to 7, 8, 9, and 10, it was pretty tough.
I know. I do the thing where I'm like looking through the deck list over and over again, being like,
right.
Should you? But me? I don't know.
I feel like I just saw this card.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
Is this really my third time through it?
Yeah.
All right. So the first one is Crush Contraband. It's 3 and a white. It's an instant. Choose one or both. Exile target artifact. Exile target enchantment.
Okay. So this is single target removal for 4 white. It's an instant. You could potentially get rid of 2 things here, but this is kind of an awkward card. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it would really feel bad to have this in your hand and not be able to do something with it. I'd prefer basically any of the 10 cards on our list.
Yeah.
Other than this card.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you're doing things that you're bouncing other stuff. You're getting rid of it in other ways. You're maybe countering a spell quell, or Crush Contraband seems like something on the other end of it. And we're not gonna lie, right? It's important to get rid of sometimes those singular important things. But I don't think at 4 mana this is necessarily the exact kind of single target removal you're looking for.
Yeah, the question you always got to ask is who's on the beatdown, right? Mm-hmm. And I think if you're not on the beatdown in this deck, you're making a mistake.
Yeah, or you're just really far behind. But this deck has so many ways to get you back on that path.
Right.
I think you're kind of racing to the finish in the air anyway. The next card we're taking out is Custode Soulbinders. It's 3 and a white for a creature human cleric as a 0/0. Custode Soulbinders enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it, where X is the number of other creatures on the battlefield. And then you can pay 2 and a white to remove a +1/+1 counter from Custode Soulbinder to create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying. Okay.
It's a pretty powerful ability, right?
But, it is powerful, but 2 and a white for a 1/1 white spirit creature token. And I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty sure we talked about 3 or 4 other cards already that create those
right.
without needing to pay mana into it and have to cast this creature in the first place.
And imagine you've got this early on, you've got nothing else to do in hand.
Ew.
And this, you have to bring this out where there's, it's going to get, say, 2 counters. Right. So you only get 2 activations out of it. So even if you ignore the mana sink part of it, it's just an awkward card.
Yeah. So it's also a cleric, a human cleric, so it doesn't have spirit synergy. Here's what happens. You pay 3 and a white. Let's say good case scenario. This becomes like a 7/7, okay? Right.
That's pretty cool.
4 mana is already paid into it. Now you need to pay another 3 mana to get to end up with a 6/6 and a 1/1 flyer. So that is a total of 7 mana for a 6/6 on the ground that's not a spirit and then a 1/1 flyer. And then to go past that, now you're going into 10 mana to make 2 1/1 flyers and have a 5/5. 10 mana. That's a lot.
If you're playing in a pre-con match, I could see this card doing work because, yeah. you know, pre-cons against each other might be cool. It's not the worst card in the world, but you have options. So.
Yep, I agree there. The next card we have here is Disorder in the Court. This is a new card, actually. Very interesting. I think this card actually works better in some other decks, though. So let's read it.
So it's X blue white, and it's in an instant. Exile X target creatures, then investigate X times. Return the exiled cards to the battlefield under their owner's control. And at the beginning of the next end step.
Right.
Now, I love this card. It gives us a ton of clue tokens.
Yep. And it protects some pieces as well.
Right. And it is like on the exact blink strategy of a lot of decks. Mm-hmm, this fits in a lot of decks. But the main thing that I care about is that investigation. Very cool. Not in this deck, though.
Yeah, this is interesting, too, because Disorder in the Court is great in a Brago deck.
Oh, yeah.
That's trying to flicker stuff that has Enter the Battlefield abilities attached to almost every one of those creatures. Is it that good in the deck that makes a bunch of spirit creature tokens?
No, that doesn't trigger our commander. There's a lot of things that don't happen. I suppose we could remove things for a turn on our opponent's side of the field.
Right, you could flicker something else on the other side of the battlefield, but oftentimes I find that anytime you don't know, right, like, if you're just playing by yourself with your own deck, this card still needs to be good. It cannot be purely dependent on other players having, oh, they're making a ton of tokens, I'm going to get rid of them, or, oh, I'm going to reset the tokens on that, whatever, the plus and plus counters on that creature. You can't count on that. Right. So I think Disorder in the Court is a very interesting card. It's one that you should all keep an eye on, but probably for the decks that are more about Enter the Battlefield abilities, not necessarily making low spirit tokens that would just get eradicated by this thing.
It's a very good example of a card that is good, but not in this deck.
Yeah, exactly. The next card we're going to take out is Custode Squire. This is a 4 and a white spirit cleric for a 3/3 flying with Will of the Council, for all of you conspiracy fans out there. When Custode Squire enters the battlefield, starting with you, each player votes for an artifact, creature, or enchantment card in your graveyard. Return each card with the most votes or tied for the most votes to your hand.
Yeah, I don't like giving control to my opponents, and I don't think that I'm going to be filling up the graveyard enough for this to work.
And this is a 5-mana card. Imagine drawing this and not having anything in your graveyard that you even want back.
Like, ideally, this is going to cost me more than my commander costs.
Yeah.
I don't think that's worth it at 5 mana. We can do better things.
Also, the Will of the Council part, you might be thinking, oh, you can get political with it. But oftentimes, you play this man for 5 mana, you're like, okay, I'm going to choose this artifact, and then maybe someone else will choose that creature. No, right. Everyone just votes for the thing you voted for, and you get one card back. So
how many times have those cool political deals actually panned out? Everybody just figures it out and does the boring thing.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't blame them. And here's the thing, you may have a play group that's all about doing cool stuff like that, but you know, I think we're building this deck so it can have the most fun on an average basis across the whole world. So,
you know what's the most fun is doing the thing that you want to do more often.
Absolutely.
That's fun.
Okay.
All right. So then Dovin, Grand Arbiter, is the next one.
Bye-bye, Dovin.
Bye, Dovin. It's 1 white and a blue. Legendary Planeswalker Dovin. It comes in with 3 loyalty, +1 until end of turn. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, put a loyalty counter on Dovin. That's pretty good in this deck. Cool. And a -1, create a 1/1 colorless Thopter creature token with flying. You gain 1 life.
Okay.
And then the ultimate, -7. Look at the top 10 cards of your library. Put 3 of them into your hand and the rest onto the bottom of your library in a random order.
This seems like it would be good in this deck.
Right? Kind of, right? You think that you might get that ultimate on that next turn, right? Probably not.
Probably not. definitely that's the kind of thing where people look at you and go, no thanks.
Right.
Also, you're making thopters. You're not making spirits. I was hoping that said until end of turn, whenever a creature you control deals combat damage, you can draw a card.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
It would be something.
That's why we play cards that say that.
Yeah. Exactly. Dovin does not say that. Dovin is a planeswalker that cares about artifacts and artifact synergies more than anything else. You can sort of see this card like having like 30 to 40 to 50% ties to what this deck is doing.
Right.
But it's not that full synergy that I think you're looking for. And even though the dream is cool, right, play Dovin plus one and swing with six creatures to get to a, or no, sorry, swing with at least three creatures that connect to get to a minus seven ability the next turn, everyone's going to stop you from doing it or point at it because an ultimating planeswalker, even if it's not a crazy ultimate, is still powerful.
Right. The, no matter what the ultimate is, they're going to say he can ult that thing next turn.
Yeah.
I'm not letting Jake do this. And this ultimate, honestly, as far as ultimates go, is not great.
Not great. And honestly, just play Curiosity Crafter, a card that Jake recommended, and then when those creatures deal combat damage, you just draw the cards.
Right.
You don't need to worry. You don't need to have this card selection. You know, and the card selection is nice, but you're, the chances of you doing both of those things, right? Like, you have to think, Commander, about, like, when I do something, what's the percentage chance I get to do the next thing that I'm playing with this? And when it comes to Planeswalkers and ultimate abilities, your chances dip drastically the moment people see it happening.
Right.
Next up, we have Hallowed Spirit Keeper. One white for a creature, avatar, 3-2 with vigilance. When Hallowed Spirit Keeper dies, create X 1-1 white spirit creature tokens with flying, where X is the number of creature cards in your graveyard. Now, this is one of the cards that had a lot of value when we talked about the cards that have reprint value.
Yeah.
But what if you have nothing in your graveyard?
Or what if it doesn't die?
What if you don't have a sack outlet? You don't have many sack outlets. Interesting.
It's a pretty silly thing to cast this card, nothing happens, and you just have a 3-2 vigilance.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good.
And if it was like, hey, I'm swinging at you, Jimmy, you have a perfect 4-4 you can block it with, I'd go, nah, you can just hit me for three.
Yeah, I think that this card is probably something you might want to cast in the late game, but in this deck in particular, if we're not hitting a spirit every single turn, that's not what we want to do.
Yeah, and this is a similar argument that for Dovin, which is you need to play this, and then you need to do something else to make it happen. In this case, two things. You need to have creature cards in your graveyard and a way to get this dead. So that's a lot of work when you already have so many other token creators in the deck. It feels a little redundant.
Yeah, it'll be busted elsewhere, but yeah, not here.
For sure.
All right, next one is Ayobi, who split the heavens.
Split them.
Six and a white, legendary creature spirit. It's a 3/6 flying. Whenever you cast a spirit or arcane spell, create a 3/3 white spirit creature token with flying.
Oh.
That ability is crazy good.
It is pretty good. And there's, like we said, around 30 plus cards in the deck that have spirit synergies.
But you know what? It better be good for six and a white.
Yeah, it better be real good.
Yeah, I'm busy that day for six and a white.
Yeah, here's the thing too. When you cast this for six and a white, that very well may be the only thing you're doing that turn. Right. It's not like this card has flash. It's not like you can cheat it out in this deck. So
that would be sick.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool.
You
can't, unfortunately. And here's the thing. I think this is an easy trap for a lot of players to fall into, which is a 3-3 flyer that much better than 3-1-1 flyers? And for 7 mana, you most likely are going to be able to generate those 3-1-1 flyers some other ways. And we've talked about this, right? You're attacking, you need to maybe hold some creatures back occasionally for blocking. Having a 3-3 makes it a little harder. I would rather have 3-1-1s because this deck wants to have tokens. There's cards that synergize with having multiple tokens, not just one. Right. So Ayobi looks really good on the surface, but is a little bit of a trap.
Yeah, definitely, it's a trap. It's one of those things that you'll look at and you'll say, wow, this card is crazy in this deck, but you got to keep reading.
Yeah, you got to keep reading. And then most importantly, sometimes you just need to play with it to understand how kind of clunky it is. And, you know, maybe back in the early days when we first started playing Magic and Commander, something like Ayobi would stick around and it would work. And then you'd make, cool, oh, sweet, you just made 2 3/3s on your next turn. But it costs you six and a white and two creatures. So that's like, what, 11 mana?
And by the time you're able to cast that in this deck in particular, you should probably be up to bigger things than creating more spirits.
Yeah, not to mention the spirits you create, they don't have haste. You're in white and blue. You have to wait a whole turn cycle for them to swing again. So there's just a lot of clunkiness involved here. Too many steps, and it's very readable. You know, I think you'd rather just have a big army. You can send the damage more ways and sort of pilot the deck and try and win in that way.
Right.
Next up is Midnight Clock. This is 2 in the blue for an artifact. You can tap it to add blue mana, or you can pay 2 in the blue to put an hour counter on Midnight Clock. At the beginning of each upkeep, put an hour counter on Midnight Clock, and then when the 12th hour counter is put on Midnight Clock, shuffle your hand and graveyard into your library, then draw 7 cards and exile Midnight Clock.
I feel like I see this trigger a lot on Arena. Like, I feel like it does work in historic brawl games on Arena just fine.
Yeah.
I've never seen it in real life.
Yeah, even though it's each upkeep, right? And you have four players around the table, that means 12 upkeep, so three turn cycles. This is, at its core, you should be looking at it as a three mana mana rock.
Right.
And we've seen that we actually have a bunch of mana rocks in here. But if you also look at the deck breakdown, you have a lot of spells that cost three mana value. So I think you really don't want to prioritize putting in a bunch of artifacts that tap on that end of it, right?
And so, let's say that this didn't have the last bit of text there. You're paying three mana for an artifact that, yes, produces colored mana, but you know what else does that? Like, a lot.
A lot.
Manalith, a Dark Steel Ingot.
Right, right.
And all both of those are pretty, like, you know, not that great nowadays.
Yeah, I could also see you going into the deck and finding another 3 CMC artifact and being like, you know what, I don't need this one, I want the Midnight Clock instead. But overall, this is definitely on the lower end of power level of cards in this deck.
Right. All right, next one is Haunting Imitation.
New card.
Is it Imitation? Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 and a blue, it's a sorcery. Each player reveals the top card of their library. For each creature card revealed this way, create a token that's a copy of that card, except it's a 1-1. It's a spirit in addition to its other types, and it has flying. If no creature cards were revealed this way, return Haunting Imitation to its owner's hand. So if you don't get any hits, kind of cool that it will come back to your hand.
You get to cast it again for 3 mana and hope you hit something.
This is one of those cards that I might put into a deck if I'm trying to power it down for a specific type of play group.
Ah, okay. It's
a really fun card.
Yeah.
But this is not a good card.
Well, here's the thing, too. A lot of decks will just have, like, a Sakura Tribe Elder at
right.
the top. And it's like, congratulations, for 3 mana, you made a Sakura Tribe Elder, which actually maybe isn't the worst thing in a white and blue deck. But there are a lot of cases where you'll just have everyone flip, and I play Apako Holodine deck, right? And it's all about flipping non-creatures off the top of everyone's library. Mm-hmm. On average, I'm getting between 2 to 4 non-creature spells, and very rarely am I getting a creature spell that I'm like, oh my gosh, that thing is so powerful. Because you'll find in more and more commander groups, the CMC is getting lower, creatures aren't going to be those sort of like crazy Phyrexian Dreadnought type things, those huge monsters.
Sometimes they will be.
Sometimes they will
be.
But
we're not here to talk about those times that they will be. Like, you know, you can't outweigh all the times that you pay 3 mana, nothing happens, this goes back to your hand. Or you pay 3 mana, you get a Land of War Elves or a Sakura Tribe Elder or something kind of lame for 3 mana.
Yeah.
We can't talk about just the exciting moments because, yeah, those will happen, but don't throw those in my face when I say this is a bad card.
Yeah. Now, I might actually play this in my Paco and Howland deck because that deck wants to put cards on top of my opponent's libraries. So in that case, I get a little more options, right? I can be like, cool, I'm going to totally lost that card on end step, and then I'm going to cast Haunting Imitation and get it off the top of your deck. But this deck doesn't have any synergies in that world. So this is more just cute because it makes a spirit. But a lot of times if you whiff or you only hit some small things, or even if you hit something big, it's just too inconsistent, I think, in a deck that has a really specific game plan.
I could really see myself playing it. Like I said, I love weird creature tokens and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I could see myself playing it, but not as a way to upgrade this deck.
Yeah,
that's
upgrade a great way
to make it better.
Yep. And the last card is Verity Circle. It's 2 and a blue for an enchantment. Whenever a creature an opponent controls becomes tapped, if it isn't being declared as an attacker, you may draw a card. And then for 4 and a blue, you can tap target creature without flying. So 5 mana to tap a creature without flying to then draw a card, that's a lot. That's almost your entire turn. And anytime another creature is tapped but not for attacking, you draw a card as well. We've seen this actually with the partner pairing in this deck. They kind of want to do something around that. But this is the only card in the deck that has that sort of synergy. And it doesn't seem like you're going to be wanting to do this in the spirit-focused attack strategy.
It feels bad to cut any card that says draw a card mm-hmm. in this deck. But this one in particular, yeah, there are some situations where you could pay 3 for the enchantment, maybe get the card off of it, pay the extra 5 to ensure that you're going to get a card and tap a creature. But 8 mana is not great.
It's actually bad.
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad. But if your whole deck is about tappers and tapping right. things to tap other stuff down, then yeah, go for it. Verity Circle seems really fun. And that might be a blue and white, or even a green, blue, and white deck that is in the future that is sort of getting the pieces now, but this deck isn't the place for it. So.
Yeah, when you start building that commander deck with those two partners, there's probably a lot that you're going to take in and out. Definitely leave in Verity Circle if you're running those two commanders.
Yep. Okay, so that is it for the cards in and the cards out. This one, I think, was a really nice and like clean swap in and out. Yeah. The strategy is already there. It's just sort of about refining it. So let's talk a little bit about how the deck plays. I think this is just pretty straightforward, right?
For sure. The commander tells you exactly what to do,
mm-hmm.
but it's got enough interaction to kind of keep things interesting. Like, this isn't like Prime Speaker Vannevar where it's the same thing every time. Mm-hmm. You're going to be doing a different thing to different opponents every single time, even if your deck plays the same way.
Yep. Yep, you're going to make a bunch of 1/1s. You're going to refill your hand with like your reconnaissance missions and your distant melodies. And you're just going to try and hit everyone a bunch of time with a bunch of 1/1s that they probably can't block.
And probably be surprised by how many times you can cast this commander.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think that's going to be the most interesting thing with this deck. I'd love to see if anyone out there gets this pre-con, starts playing with it, and just is like, hey, I cast Millicent 5 times this game, and I never had to pay more than 4 mana or whatever each time. It's pretty exciting. Okay, well, that's going to do it. That's going to wrap it up for the Spirit Squadron deck. Of course, to the listeners, what do you think about the Azorius deck this time around? What do you think about this white-blue Flyers Spirits idea? Are there any cards that we missed that are an absolute include? Again, keep in mind that we had to keep the budget under $30, so we're not just throwing in Rhystic Studies left and right. And are there any cards that you disagree with that we took out, or cards that you agree with that we took out, or that we put in? Let us know in the comments. You can post right below this video. You can tweet at us. You can find Jake Boss on Twitter as well. And you can tell us your thoughts on the Spirit Squadron.
Yeah, let me know exactly how you feel.
Dangerous words, Jake.
Yeah, I'm down to have a conversation for sure.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, for sure. Real discourse about Magic cards. That's why I joined the internet, everyone. And of course, if you're looking to pick up this pre-con or the cards to upgrade it, or the cards to upgrade any of your decks, you want to pick up some cool new singles from Midnight Hunt or Crimson Vow, head on over to our sponsor, channelfireball.com/command. You can just type that in. You're on the website. It'll have the code inputted. Or you can wait until checkout and just type the code command there as well. Either way, you're supporting the show that you're watching right now. Extra turns, game nights. Jake, I know for sure, works so, so very hard making game nights into the reality that it is. And boy, oh boy, your support really does matter. It's why we're able to do this, why we're able to bring on new people.
It changed a lot of our lives. Like, I moved down here for this job from a broadcast job. This is, that was a big change. And I'm so happy that we're doing this more and more with new hires and stuff.
And I'm happy, so glad that you're here with us as well, because that means more content, and especially more content for everyone out there watching. So again, channelfireball.com/command, that is our sponsor for the show. Using that link directly supports the content we make, as does supporting our content through Ultra Pro. Of course, the playmats you see in front of us, the ones we use on game nights that we reveal every single time, the dice, the deck boxes, the sleeves are all made by Ultra Pro. They are the leaders in the business because they've been doing it for the longest. They've got the best supply chain, they've got the best quality for everything that they make, and they get the official Magic art.
Yeah, beautiful Magic art. There's always something in the set that I'm so excited about, like Prismari Command. That playmat looks so good.
Oh, yeah. I just still think about that animation y'all made for Game Nights for that.
Dude, Sam killed it on that one.
It's so
great.
That
was a Sam special. I had nothing to do with it. I'm like, whoa.
You pointed the finger and said, make it so, Sam.
Pretty much. Just make it cool. And I walked out the room.
But yeah, you get the official art on the playmat. So again, supporting Ultra Pro supports our show. Do we have an end step today? Something cool outside the world of Magic?
We sure do.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to talk about one of my favorite things lately, which is the Digimon TCG.
Digimon, Digital Monsters.
Can't go anywhere without somebody singing in this song. The game has been going in Japan for a while now.
Okay.
And they brought it over to the U.S. And something interesting about that is the meta is basically solved in Japan. Oh. And we're getting those sets one by one now. So we get to learn from their legacy.
The Japanese pros. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So this game is super cool. The mana system is basically you start at 0 and I'll spend 2. Now, you have 2 to spend for free, but let's say you want to spend 5. Mm-hmm. Then it crosses 0, goes back to 3.
Oh.
So now I have 3 to spend. And let's say I'm going to cast something for 12. That gives you 9 mana to spend for free.
Wow. Okay.
This game is so dope because nobody ever says pass the turn. When you cross 0, it immediately becomes your opponent's turn.
Oh.
And when you digivolve a card onto another card, you're drawing a card. Mm-hmm. So your hand replaces itself throughout this game. It's really fun. I've been getting into it big time with my friends.
That's cool.
And the game just sings. I think Prof has a video coming out soon about this.
That's really cool. I love that idea that you're passing the resources back and forth almost.
Right.
So if you want to do something big, well, your opponent's also going to get the chance to do something big.
Right. Instead of kind of setting up our engine like we're used to with Magic and counting on everybody to kind of be responsible with how they built their deck, it's like, sure, I'll drop an Omnimon, but you'll get to do something even crazier on your turn. But honestly, my favorite part is the little smiles on the cards. It's a happy little game where it's nice, nostalgic, and fun. If that was something that you enjoyed in your childhood, or if you just enjoy new TCGs, give Digimon a try for sure.
That's awesome. I do want to try it out now. I didn't know that's how the format works, and that's really exciting.
Icons are $13.
Wow. And yeah. I guess a lot of it is also how much you know about the other opponent's deck, right? Oh, yeah. I shouldn't give them 5 mana because they're just going to do this potentially.
Oh, yeah. If I give them this much, then they're going to start their Lilith Loop, and you know, because the Japanese folks solved it all for us.
That's great.
Yeah, precons are solid, and they're $13, so...
I love that. If you're looking for a new game, and especially if you're like a dad or a family member or a mom that you want to have it with your kids, that seems like a perfect game to sort of get them started with the TCGs.
It feels like Magic as Garfield intended, because you buy a booster pack and you buy a starter deck and you shuffle them up and you bring the good cards here and there. Like a new TCG always has that feeling of an organic experience, whereas, you know, with Magic, we're used to going out and picking up precisely what we like.
Yeah, exactly. All right, very cool. So check out the Digimon TCG and Prof's video on it soon enough.
Someday soon.
All right, big thanks to our team here at the Command Zone: Arthur Metacroft, Lady Danger, Lance and Lung, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Alfred the Socket, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, right next to me, Patrick Nan, Jordan Pridgen, Sam Walder, Gaurav Galai, Truck Tie, Jamie Block, Damon Lenz, Shauna Gillis, and Evan Limburger. I'm out of breath.
Evan, he's amazing. He's one of our new VFX guys.
That means better VFX on Game Nest for you. We've got new editors as well for our ads, for our podcasts, and writers. We got so many better things coming your way, and that means we got to feature more of our awesome staff here on camera doing podcasts. I'm sure a lot of people really like that was your idea for a podcast episode. Yeah. Decks we built but hated.
Yeah, I love stuff like that, and I'm sure we're going to be doing something like that in the future here. I'm going to try to crank out some ideas and see what we got.
Yeah,
you know, go back it. And stir that it. Pot.
Because Josh and I, we're kind of running out of ideas after 7 years.
Well, I learned from the best.
Ah, thanks, appreciate it. And of course, big thanks to Jeffrey Palmer. He does the Living Card animations, including this one behind us, The Days, and you can find him on Twitter at LivingCardsMTG. All right, everyone, thanks so much. Thank you, Jake, for the excellent breakdown.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. It's always a pleasure. We'll see you next time. Toss it. Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Do you follow automotive news? Or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-host / two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, that's a good looking car, check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcasts on YouTube.